In a few moments, we're going to read from the book of Genesis, a few verses from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, the first chapter in the Bible, and then also the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, close to the end of the Bible. So if you want to get a Bible out and start looking that up, the first book of the Bible and then the book of Hebrews, very close to the end, chapter 13. This is our final Sunday in our sermon series on the theme of faith formation. So we've been on this now for our fifth Sunday, and we're talking about, and we can call it different names, faith formation, discipleship, Christian living, life in the spirits, and we're wondering, how do we grow, or how do we develop our faith in Jesus Christ in healthy ways? And we're being encouraged to think about four building blocks, and they're here on the stage there. The four building blocks say to us that we belong, that's the foundational building block. We belong to God the Father through Jesus Christ. We know and understand, or we're coming to know and understand the grace and knowledge of Jesus. Last week we talked about we have hope. We're standing on tiptoe waiting for the glory of God to be revealed in us. And as we're standing and we're hoping, that gives us stability for our lives right now. And this morning we're looking at the theme of we are called and equipped. And I'm wondering if we could say those four building blocks together. Let's try. We belong, we know and understand, we have hope, we are called and equipped. Let me invite Samuel and Cynthia to come and read this morning's readings from Genesis chapter 1 and from Hebrews chapter 13. Thanks so much.
Genesis 1:26-28. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image, in the image of God created them. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground.
Okay, so now Hebrews 13 from verse 15 to 25. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation, for in fact I have written to you quite briefly. I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released. If he arrives soon, I will come with him to see you. Greet all your leaders and all the Lord's people. Those from Italy send you their greetings. Grace be with you all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks Hey there. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm waiting for my call.
Oh, what call might that be?
The call from God, so that I can know what He wants me to do with my life.
Wow. Okay. Well, that seems like a very important call. Well, right now we're going to go to East Van and hand out blankets and sandwiches to the homeless folks that are down there and, tell them that God loves them. You should join us.
Well, that's great. And I'm really glad that you are involved with a group that's doing that. That's really needed.
Yeah, it is. And you could be involved in it as well.
No, I'd better not. I might miss my call and I don't want to do that. So you have a good time, though.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll leave you to it, but maybe next time?
Maybe. We'll have to see.
Hello. Still waiting for your call?
Yeah. Well, I definitely wouldn't want to miss it. It's a pretty important call for when one figures out what God wants one to do with one's life.
Yeah, it seems very important, again. But, you should join us tonight. Another opportunity for you. We're going to be having a prayer meeting at the church, discerning some direction and where we want to go with the church, and it sounds like it could be right up your alley.
Well, that sounds really good, and you should go, but I need to stay here. I don't want to miss my call.
Yeah.
If I did, I'd feel really silly.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, I hope you get the phone call soon.
Me too. Have fun praying.
Thanks, and have fun waiting for your call.
I'll try.
Still waiting?
Yeah. Whoa, where are you off to?
Well, remember that prayer meeting that we had?
Yeah.
Well, some of us discerned that we should go to China, and so we're going to head there and, yeah.
You were at that meeting.
We're going to the Lighthouse Center.
Okay.
And also to give out Bibles to the underground churches that are there. We're getting organized and ready to head out.
Well, that sounds really amazing. I'm sure you're going to do great things. I'd love to come, but...
But let me guess, you're waiting for your call?
It's a very important call.
I know. Well, I still hope you get the call soon.
Thank you. Me too. But have fun in China.
Thanks, and I'll see you when I get back.
I look forward to it.
Okay. I think you should answer it.
Hello?
Yes, sir. This is me. This is... Yes. Yes. One moment, please. It's for you. And scene.
How'd you make that phone go? That's pretty cool. Nice. So we don't do a lot of drama here at Nelson Avenue, which actually is very unfortunate because dramas always have a way of bringing across a message humorously but very pointedly. And this morning, thanks for that drama because it helps us think a little bit about the theme of this morning's message, thinking about calling and how does God call? Or has God called? Or when is He going to call and have something for me or for us to do? This morning, we're just going to focus on two verses from the second reading from Hebrews chapter 13, just verses 20 and 21. And those verses go like this. Now may the God of peace, and that God of peace, through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead, our Lord Jesus, So God made a promise, his eternal covenants, and he made it, he ratified it through the blood of Jesus, and through the work of Jesus, he also raised Jesus, because Jesus had ratified that covenant through his death. He raised Jesus from the dead, and Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. He is our great shepherd. That God of peace through Jesus is going to equip you. May he equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Now, I sense someone remember last week's Sunday. It's only 7 days ago. But I was trying to say that when the blessing comes, the word of amen is not my word or the person reading the blessing, but really the word of the people. Right? So when the blessing comes, we might just say, but some of you might actually shout, amen, because that blessing gripped us. This morning, I want to look at these two verses under three headings: God's blessing, God's calling, and God's equipping. Or we could say that the God of peace, the God we read about in the Bible, is a God who blesses, and a God who calls, and a God who equips. And I think if we can hear these verses kind of rightly or properly, if we have our ears open this morning, they're going to challenge our typical view of God. But they're also, as they challenge our typical view of God, they're also going to help correct our typical view of God. And I hope that that correction will be good news for us, that we will hear some good news this morning about who this God of peace is. And I say that because these two verses, verses 20 and 21, we might say they're a prayer, but I would rather say they are a prayer of blessing. That the author, as he ends this letter called Hebrews, is placing a blessing on the people he's writing to. So we can imagine a little bit, if you want to, someone as they're writing, in some ways they stand up and they lift up their hands, and they lift up their face, and hopefully as they're speaking these words, they're smiling because it's a joy to give the blessing of God. And someone whose hands are raised or who's smiling, shining on us, is speaking words of life, speaking God's goodness in some sense to us. I want to say speaking God's goodness and blessing over us. But also, we could say, speaking God's goodness and blessing into us. Because that's what words of blessing are meant to do. They're meant to get inside of us and shape us and form us. And we are people, I would say, whether we admit it or not, we long. We're just waiting for someone. Maybe someone we know quite well, but especially if we're children, I think it doesn't matter what age we are, we're longing for a father or a mother to bless us, to say words of blessing to us. And we're also wired as creatures, as human beings, to long for the blessing of God. And as these words come to us, what they're meant to do is shape us and form us, and if we hear them and receive them, also give us hope and life and peace and joy. So whenever the words of blessing come from God, whenever that would happen, whether in a church service or maybe a parent or a friend or who knows where, those words are not meant to be received like, who cares? You know, those were very uninteresting words. I'm totally unmoved. Those are meaningless words. As we hear true words of blessing, even this morning, they're meant to come into us, form us, shape us, give us all kinds of good things that God wants to do to us and give to us, but also remind us that the God of the Bible, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is a God who longs to pour out blessing in our lives. Now, when I say that, I'm not suggesting that God is a pushover, or that God is, you know, doesn't care about sin, or that God is not holy. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that the big vision of the Bible, this holy God, this strong God, this amazingly powerful God. The big vision of the Bible is that this God is a God of blessing. And specifically, as we think about the Christian God, it is God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the God of blessing. He desires to bless. He longs to bless. And he longs for us to receive the blessing. And that's why I had us also read this morning from Genesis chapter 1. It's that first chapter in the Bible. Everything is getting set up. And the first words that God says to human beings are words of blessing. Now, sometimes when we read these words, or I've heard people talk about these words, they are talked about as the what's called the cultural mandates, right? Which I no longer want to use that language, because mandate makes me think about what I got to do. Like, here's God giving me a list of all the things I got to do. And as I read Genesis 1:28, it doesn't say God mandated them. God told them. God gave them a list of things they had to do. There is a response for human beings, but the words are God blessed them and said, be fruitful, increase, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish and the birds and every living creature. Words of blessing. The first words of God to human beings are words of blessing. And I'm making a bit of a big deal about that this morning, because I think this view of God challenges, but hopefully also corrects, our typical view of God. That for many people, the God of the Bible is a cursing God. He is a grumpy God. He is an always angry God. He's a sneering or condemning God. And as I just quickly think about verses in the Bible from the beginning, Genesis 1, throughout the Bible, to this place in Hebrews 13, God, the God of peace, longs to bless. The God of peace loves to bless. He loves to bless his creation and his people. And I'm wondering this morning if we are able to see that, or hear that, or receive that. As we think about our idea of who God is, do we taste and see that God is a God of blessing? And not just a God of blessing, but also a God of calling. So I'm connecting the God of blessing with God the Father, and I want to connect the God of calling, or the calling of God, specifically with Jesus Christ, because so often in his earthly ministry, Jesus was calling people, like, come, follow me. So Jesus is a calling Jesus, or a calling teacher, or a calling king, inviting people, welcoming people, calling people into his kingdom and service. Now, maybe this idea of Jesus calling people, or God calling us, is not a surprise to us. For me, the surprise is that God calls all kinds of people into all kinds of parts of the creation. I'll get back to that in a few moments. But I want to talk this morning about calling, because even this skit this morning sort of sets up what we think a calling is typically, right? We think I'm supposed to wait and wait and wait, and someday God's going to call me. Someday I'm going to hear the voice, or hear the phone, or I'm going to have this mysterious word spoken to me in the middle of the night, and there's the call. And that might happen, but I think generally for people, we are called all the time. So I want to distinguish this morning between the general call of God, and in these verses talk about doing God's will, or doing what pleases God, what's pleasing to God. And these are two kind of general or generic ways of talking about God's call. And then our calling is to take this call and make it specific in the areas of life that God has called us into. So the general call of God are things like trust God, love God, follow Jesus, believe in Jesus, love your neighbor, do justice, live holy lives, live at peace with others, be open-handed with your hospitality, be, I want to say, crazy generous, and the list can go on of all the things that God calls all of us to do. All of us are called by God to do these things. But then God makes it specific by taking the general calling and saying, now in your life, where you are, do these things. In the family you're in, the friends you have, the work you have, the ministry you have, do bring this general calling I've given to you into this area of your life, this area of the creation. Many people, when we talk about calling, and maybe that's true for us, I should maybe ask some of us, but if we hear the word calling in a religious setting, many people right away think, pastor, missionary, Christian worker, full-time person who's working, doing the things that Jesus is calling them to do. And even though those callings are callings, the God of the Bible is the God of the heavens and the earth. Right? He is the God of the whole creation. And what we sometimes do as Christians is we say, this big God who made this big creation and is over all the nations, over the whole creation, is just calling a few people. So this, as the Bible portrays God, this creator of the heavens and the earth, is just calling a few. Instead of thinking, well, if he is the God of the heavens and the earth, if he is really the creator, if in through Jesus he is wanting to redeem the creation and all his people, then maybe he's calling all kinds of people into all the corners of his creation. That the general call of God, love him, delight in him, love your neighbor, live a holy life, etc., etc., is meant to be funneled not to a few people, but to all kinds of people in all kinds of areas in this creation. And so callings to parents or grandparents, callings into areas of service and volunteering, calling into areas, for some of us, it's a season of our lives, it feels like a long season, but learning and studies, or people into medical professions, or people into the world of finances, or computers, or business, or research. And what I wish we could do this morning is to ask everybody, what are you doing? And to say, that's the calling God's given to you right now. Whatever you're doing, God's calling you into that area of life to bring all of his general calling, all this doing of God's will into this specific thing or ministry you're called to do. And I wonder if we think of God enough this way, a calling God or a calling Jesus into all the corners of the world, all the corners of the creation. And then to remind each other and ourselves, God has called you. Don't be waiting by the phone wondering if he's called you. He has called you. And how are you living out his calling in the specific area of your life? Thirdly, not just a blessing God and a calling God, but also an equipping God. God the Father specifically blessing, God the Son specifically calling, and then God the Holy Spirit specifically equipping us. And the word for equipping that's used here, or for God to equip, means to fit together, or prepare, perfect, get something ready for use, bring something to its proper condition, which is the same word, the same Greek word used in a verse like Matthew 4:21, where we have these two brothers, they're in the boat with their father Zebedee, and the Bible says they're preparing their nets. Now, I'm not a fisherman. So I don't know exactly what that feels like or what that experience is preparing their nets. And we might wonder, how does that connect, preparing their nets with God equipping us? And I'm going to suggest that, and I could be wrong, but I think about guys preparing their nets, fishermen preparing their nets in a boat. The nets, the calling of the nets is to catch fish. Right? And sometimes those nets break. Sometimes those nets need fixing or mending or patching or sewing or maybe cleaning. And these fishermen are preparing or equipping their nets so that they can be used for the calling the net has. And when I think about the net, the fishing net, and me, I think that's oftentimes how God is equipping me. He has to mend me or fix me or kind of patch me back together so that he can equip me to do the work I'm called to do. I know not all of you have seen the movie Frozen, but I was thinking about that song they're singing to Kristoff, right? Those stones that turn into little creatures, trolls. And they're singing to Kristoff, and they're saying he's a fixer-upper. Like, he's okay, but if you're going to marry him, he's got to get fixed up a little bit yet. So we could do that. And that's what I was thinking that God says to us, right? We're all fixer-uppers, and God has to mend us sometimes and fix us and sometimes clean us and do all kinds of things oftentimes inside of us so he might use us to do his will, to do the general calling of God in the specific areas that he's called us to work in. So as I think about that, I think about God's at work. So this is the words of blessing. Not so much what you have to do, although there's always response, but words of blessing are always God is doing something. God wants to do something. God is at work in your life, preparing you, equipping you, which is very much like words from the book of Philippians chapter 2, where the author says, you gotta work out your salvation. God's given you a salvation in Jesus Christ. You've got to work out all the implications of it. But know that as you are working it all out, know that God is working in you. So don't think you've got to do this all yourself. No, you're working, but remember, God is working. And you can only work because God is working in you. And the Spirit equips us in different ways. Just quickly, three ways that he equips us. He, first of all, equips us through the Word or through the Bible. And I'm so thankful sometimes to see connections between different verses. So we're talking about God equipping us. And then we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that the Scriptures are God-breathed. They're useful for many things so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So that helps me as I think about what's the use of the Bible. It's not just to learn Bible trivia. It's not just to learn things, and it's certainly not about that primarily, it's not primarily to learn things about God. It's there for us to know God, and then this verse says to be equipped by God for every good work that he calls us to do. Or the Spirit equips us by people or through people. Ephesians chapter 4 says that Christ himself gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service. So God gives certain leaders to the church not to do the ministry, not to, we might say, hog all the ministry, not even to tell people to do the ministry, but to help equip people to do the works of service or the ministry that God's called us to do. And then the third way that God, or the Spirit, equips us is by giving gifts. So different places in the New Testament, we hear about gifts that God gives to us, oftentimes called spiritual gifts or gifts from the Spirit. And one place is Romans chapter 12. Where the Bible says that if you have a gift of prophesying, prophesy. If your gift is serving, then serve. It sounds like, you know, pretty basic language, but it's trying to tell us if your gift is teaching, teach. Encouraging, encourage. Giving, give generously. Leading, do it diligently. If your gift is showing mercy, do it cheerfully. So the Spirit gives gifts, all kinds of gifts, these and more. And He equips us by giving us these gifts. Now, I have a feeling this morning that these kinds of things for some of us are not new, not a surprise. But for me, the surprise comes, at least for me, in knowing and believing that God does not call the equipped, but He equips the called. Right? So if God was a God who called the equipped, right, if He was waiting for us to be ready and prepared and good enough, if that's the kind of people He was calling, then He's not going to call a lot of people. And all the onus is going to be on us. Am I ready enough? Am I prepared enough? Am I equipped enough so that God will call me? So the phone will ring. God doesn't do that. Rather, He equips the called, which means there's all kinds of people. There's all kinds of people that God calls. And because He calls, He equips. And I'm amazed, not just at Nelson Avenue, but throughout church history, but also in the Bible, that God is always equipping and calling, I should say calling and then equipping, all kinds of people. We would never expect Him to call and equip. We would never expect God, you know, in, let's say, the thing about Abraham, to call people in their 70s, 80s, and 90s to do a major work, to be part of a major movement that He's doing in the world. But that's what God does. And you know, think about the story of Samuel, just a young boy being called by God to take a fairly difficult message to Eli the priest. And we sometimes think, well, God's never going to use kids and young children to do His work, but he calls them and equips them. And the list goes on of sort of this motley crew of people in the Bible, but then I think also I look around. God calling all of us, and as He calls, He promises to equip us. I'm going to invite somebody up in a few moments to just share how that's happening in their lives, but I wanted to take maybe one example. And I think we could use this sort of across the board. So this morning I'm thinking, what if you're someone who is wanting to go into forestry? Right? Maybe you're studying at UBC. Maybe. And you're saying, I want to go into forestry. How does God equip someone like that? And I'm going to suggest this is not the whole way that God does that, but there's a few ideas. God equips people who are thinking about forestry through the Word, in part by giving them a vision from the Word, from the Bible, of the goodness of the creation and the call to steward that creation well. And maybe someone in forestry will say, I'm going to actually take a leadership role in helping people steward the earth well. And then hopefully someone in forestry, and if it doesn't happen enough, then we have to repent of that. But they will hear from their leaders in the church that you too are called. Right? Not just the pastor, not just your activity in the church, but also your work in forestry or whatever it might be is also God's calling on your life, and He will equip you for it. And then thirdly, God equips people who, whatever profession it is, but let's say forestry, giving them a passion, hopefully a heart for this work, but then also certain gifts that they can use in this area of vocation and calling. And I think you could take that example and just use it in different ways, right? How God calls us and then equips us through the Word, His people, and through gifts that He gives us.